Oh, baby, how do you know? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. How are you? Glad you joined us. Dr. Alex Jimenez will be with us here in the first hour talking about Pops in the Park. That's tonight. Sue Summerow, Coach of the Year, will be with us in the second hour talking about Florida State women's basketball. So stay with me. We got a whole lot coming up.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, my friend, we are here, aren't we? It is March. It is Saturday, 9 o'clock. As always, we are here to bring you the best that we have in front of us. Those things happening in and around Tallahassee that we know about. And if we don't know, it's because you didn't tell us. Hello. We have a nifty little website there, TallahasseeTalks.com, and an email account, so you can email us, topics at TallahasseeTalks.com. Come on. However, because we are so devoted to this task, we have spent a good deal of time since our last gathering looking around town and have come up with a marvelous lineup of exciting, inspiring, interesting events and activities and people. You know, the mantra around here is really cool people doing really cool things. Well, we got them today. Not the least of whom, Dr. Alex Jimenez. And Dr. Jimenez, now having made a return visit. So you see, folks, what happens here. People come, they're on the show, good things happen, we assume, for the guest, and then they come back. Isn't that cool? And so Dr. Jimenez will be with us, and this time talking about something very cool called Pops in the Park. And that happens tonight at Cascades Park, our very own brand new Cascades Park in the amphitheater. Starts around 7:30. He'll tell us all about that coming up within this hour. Dr. Alex Jimenez, he is the Director of Orchestral Studies at Florida State University, and what a marvelous human being he is thus far in our scant opportunity to get to know this guy. Buddy, he loves his students, and he loves music, and he loves Florida State University and Tallahassee, and man, he's what we love. We like to see the fact that there's a guy who's just living it out, and he's doing what he's called to do with abandon, and they'll be outdoors for this tonight, right? So dealing with whatever comes at them in terms of humidity or heat or wind or rain or whatever, we certainly want to have a good showing tonight for them. It's free, by the way. It's a free concert. Philharmonia Orchestra will be performing, one of the three student orchestras that he directs and conducts and instructs and all of those such things. So good. Food trucks will be there. So we'll hear from him. And prior to that, I've got another guest here. Stephanie Irigoyen is going to talk about Tallahassee Roller Girls. Well, that's cool. You didn't know. We actually have a roller derby team, the Tallahassee Roller Girls. Well, they're sallying forth, or rolling it out there tonight, sorry. And they have a game, as they're now referred to. The game will come up tonight as well. So you got all of this entertainment just coming at you. It'll be a toss-up, maybe. But you could either go to see the Roller Girls, you could go to hear the Philharmonia Orchestra, or figure out a way to do both. Maybe what you do is you strap on your rollerblades, you know, catch the the concert, and then roll yourself on over there to FAMU and catch the Roller Girls. I don't know. It's going to be a great night. And as if that weren't enough, Florida State women's basketball. Yes, they're coming up this afternoon. They're playing in the NCAA tournament. Let me look at my notes again here. Who are they playing? Oh, Alabama State. That's 7-7. Sue Summerow will be our guest this morning in the second hour as she prepares her team for this matchup with Alabama State that starts tonight this afternoon at 1:30. They're at the Donald Tucker Center. And yes, it's going to be on ESPN 2 and ESPN 3. If you're not into basketball, if you're not into Florida State women's basketball, holy smokes, this woman has just been selected as Coach of the Year for the fourth time. Sue Summerow, what a class act she is. Let's see, overall they're 29-4 in the ACC. They're 14-2. At home they're undefeated this season with 14 wins. My goodness. So we're going to have Coach Sue with us in the second hour. For the entire hour, she will be here bringing us a little bit further off stage, we'll say. She's going to take us a little bit behind the scenes in conversation about how she accounts for such success and what the game is really all about for her, both on the court and off. And the whole idea of the student athlete and what kinds of challenges they face. Sue Summerow with us in the second hour. Of course, Miriam Dady is standing by. She's got a guest in the business spotlight coming up here shortly. So we're going to welcome her. And what else do I have? Well, and then I've got news around the community that sort of tickled my fancy. And I'll just give this a bit of a nod here because I don't have a whole lot of time. But many of us know Carol Dadisman. Well, we all know Carol. And his commentary published on Thursday had to do with the sidewalk to nowhere. This was in the Tallahassee Democrat. I love this article or editorial comment from him because he's talking about the proposed building of sidewalks there in the Live Oak Plantation neighborhood along Live Oak Plantation Road and down Timberlane Road. And his point is, why are we doing this? None of the folks who have been asked in those neighborhoods want this to happen. And yet the commissioners are persistent. They want to make sure these sidewalks are built. In the face of such things, it just brings to mind how oftentimes in this town you have a very small group of people pushing for something and paying no attention to the fact that the rest of us really don't want that to happen. That doesn't make us unusual, but it certainly does make us makes for some good entertainment. From the Tallahassee Democrat, it was published on Thursday, his editorial comment. Anyway, I've got more news for you of local events, as we have from our very able Katie Gibson. She's standing by with this week's events in a minute. Katie?
Tallahassee Magazine presents their 11th annual Pets and Their People event from 9 to 3 today at Proctor's Subaru to benefit the Leon County Humane Society. Bring your pet or pets to have your photo taken and possibly be featured in Tallahassee Magazine's July-August issue, and while you're at it, enjoy live music, art exhibits, hands-on activities, and food and beverages. Opening Nights presents Raisin Kane, a Harlem Renaissance odyssey starring Jasmine Guy and the Avery Sharp Trio, Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Richard G. Fallon Theater. The performance celebrates the artistic expression of the American black community in 1920s Harlem, New York. Sing along to hit country artist Eric Church's greatest hits as he brings the Outsiders World Tour to the Civic Center this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. with special guest Drive-By Truckers. Springtime Tallahassee kicks off on Friday with a music festival on Kleeman Plaza featuring the Eli Young Band. The fun starts at 6 p.m. at the Bud Light Beer Garden with opening acts the Sarah Mack Band in Old Dominion and ends strong with the Eli Young Band taking the stage at 9 p.m. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, go to TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Sendout Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady. I'm here with Cheryl Diamond from Diamond Stitchery, and we are going to talk about sewing, of all things. Now, when I think about sewing, Cheryl, I think of my mom, I think of my grandmother, I think of needle pricks on my fingers. Tell me what you do. Tell me why you do it.
Well, everybody wears clothes. Everybody needs something repaired. In this economy, people want to hang on to their good stuff, and because clothing is expensive. Well, fabric is too, but it's cheaper to repair rather than get new, unless you have something like a bridal gown or something. So I enjoy connecting with people in all ages. I've worked with parents of babies on up to grandparents.
Are you good at it?
Talking, yes. Sewing,
no,
yes.
Sewing.
I try to be my very best because it's a lot of money, no matter how much I charge, and it's memory for people. So I try to be good.
Okay, I'm going to quiz you.
Okay, go ahead.
Bathing suits.
Oh, the stretch fabric. Oh, yes.
Can you do it?
Sure. Zip it up. Zip it up.
So you can do wedding dresses. Can you do beading?
I can, for an extra charge, of course. But if it's very special to people, yes. And I sense that it's a critical part of something, absolutely.
How about men's clothing? Oh, jackets, shirts?
Yes, all of the above. They don't often come honest about their clothes, you know, if they gain a few pounds or something. But I repair zippers and hems and waistlines.
Wow.
Jackets, same thing. They can be very skittish about asking for something.
I see.
So I can pry it out of them.
I am so glad we're talking, because whenever I saw Diamond Stitchery, I just jumped to, I assumed, which is always a mistake, but I assumed what you did was monograms on bags and logos on shirts and hats and those kind of things. But you do a lot more, right?
Right. I do the alterations part of it, or something from scratch and individual. I even did a sling for a dog for one of my Rotary members. And poor puppy couldn't get up very easily to go out for a walk. So he devised this little sling that we could work with, and it worked.
Tell me about the recent breast cancer awareness thing. What was the title of it again?
Brides Against Breast Cancer.
Brides Against Breast Cancer. What was that, and how did you fit in that?
Oh, It was fun. Best Sunday I've had working in a long time. But we got donated, the agency got donated bridal gowns from like David's or whomever. And the gals came to look for bridal gowns that were discounted. And the dresses were top-notch, top-notch. All they needed was taking up or lead taking up in hem, stuff like that. Very common. And I saw so much emotion with the brides and their moms.
Oh.
And somehow or other, the gals had a connection to breast cancer. And everybody wants to save money and all that stuff. So I think we raised $8,000 to $10,000 with that one day event.
Oh my goodness!
But the memories are just going to go forever.
Did you donate your time?
Apparently, yes, I did.
But are you
also doing the majority? I'm also doing pickup alterations because I told the brides I was reasonable, and I gave them a fee. And was nowhere near what it would cost in the real world.
Oh, I can only imagine.
But they were so happy to find someone because I'm rather special.
I think so. I think that's wonderful.
It was a hoot.
So that took place, and now you're going to follow up and make them all fit into those lovely dresses.
Yes.
Oh, what a great thing to do. And what a great fundraiser. So these were brand new dresses. These weren't donated dresses that had been
like
used.
They were like overruns. Every company has overruns, and some things sell, some things don't. But we had 600 dresses or something, and racks and racks and racks of them. So there was plenty to choose from. One dress was given away. Even there was a raffle, and they just...
Neat.
It worked. It was such fun.
How did you learn to sew?
I don't remember.
Wow.
My mom taught me cross stitch, and I would do the table runners by hand. Now I do them by machine, but don't tell nobody. And in Tallahassee, there are several stores that sell these big machines, and I also have an Ace repair person. So I'm very fortunate, but there's a whole group of women who are at home right now planning what to do with their embroidery machines. And this is a stand-up machine that's taller than I am. It's 6 threads all at once. It's all computerized.
Wow.
So it's much fun. I feel very important to do this.
That's nice.
Yes.
Are you passing on your skill? Are you teaching others how to do this?
Oh, most definitely. Through Rotary and Salvation Army, we have a free sewing school that'll teach women the basics, alterations, hems, zippers, buttons, and they can go on and develop their own business through that. So I'm hoping we can get more students to come with our 14-foot quilting machine and our 10 machines and whatever else we need. It's just so much fun to see.
How many students do you have through that program?
Oh, we passed through about 20 students. You know, you don't have to stay forever unless
that's
you want to.
That's neat. So people can contact you directly?
Yep. Or the Salvation Army, or whatever they want to do. And teenagers, oh my goodness, we had one young lady make her own purse.
That's great.
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to contact you about that, what number would they call or what email would they use?
My number is 850-408-7532, or you can call the Salvation Army building, which is on Allen Road now, and my email is chrldiamond565@gmail.com.
That would, well, get ready,
please.
Because they're going to be, I'm probably calling you as soon as we leave.
Okay, good. Well, you don't have to. I'm right here.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay.
You have a good report. So let's do it.
Exactly. I think that would be wonderful. Cheryl Diamond, you are fantastic. Thank you so much
you.
For sharing all of that. I hope that everybody listening really wrote down those numbers. I'm going to have Cheryl tell you once again how she can help you make your life better and clean out your closets at the same time. Cheryl, your phone number.
408-7532, or the Salvation Army too will has my number.
Fantastic. This is Business Spotlight. I hope everybody enjoyed that segment. Thank you so much, Tallahassee.
Thank you.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back and we're talking with Dr. Alexander Jimenez, who is the director of orchestral studies. I'll check in with him about that, because he has done so many things and is doing so many things. It's very difficult for me to keep up with this guy. But then again, that's true with most people. I have difficulty keeping up with a lot of people. But that's beside the point. We're here to welcome Dr. Jimenez. How are you?
It's great to see you. How are you doing?
Once again.
And, yes.
And delighted to be here. In such a wonderful opportunity, we are talking about the Philharmonia Orchestra performing tonight. Did you hear me say that? It's tonight at 7:30. They'll be at Cascades Park for a wonderful presentation called Pops in the Park at Cascades Park, with water and lights and food and fun, and it's all free to the public. And Dr. Jimenez is making that all happen for us, because, you know, he has a lot of time on his hands. And so he was sitting there one afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, and what else can I do? You know, hey, why don't we have a concert at Cascades Park? Is that how this works?
That's pretty much it.
Oh, okay,
fine. That's pretty much it.
So tell us more about the concert itself, sir.
Well, we're excited. It's the first time that we've performed in that amphitheater, which is, for those who haven't been there, It is really a jewel. It's really a jewel. I mean, not just because it's a beautiful amphitheater physically, but its location, its setup acoustically, it's a very nice space. It's intimate, you know, while still having enough space for people to be. And so we talked about this last fall, talked about it with our dean and several other folks in our administration, and they were very supportive. And I said, let's give this a test drive. You know, our students, you know, it's often thought that it, schools of music like ours, you know, the students are learning how to perform all the great masterworks, you know, and all the hallowed halls, you know, so forth. And really the reality of their lives is going to be that, yes, they'll do some of that, but they'll also be playing outdoors and playing Pops concerts. I mean, there's a great, great following for that. And so why not train them to have that experience with all of the things that come with it? I mean, you know, we were talking the other day, the kids were surprised when I mentioned clothespins and the fact that we're going to have to provide them with clothespins so they can make sure they have them on their stand, because this is something they don't experience inside the hallowed concert hall. And we might have a windy evening. Who knows? So it's a great experience for them to learn how this works. There's no real rehearsal on the stage. We're just going to show up and play.
Yes.
It's very exciting for us to offer them this opportunity and offer our community the opportunity to hear this concert.
Among those who are instrumentalists in our audience, each of them will certainly recognize that heat and or let's say atmospheric conditions can affect
very much
the use or the performance of an instrument, especially string instruments that are subject to the influence of humidity, right?
Right.
Yeah, so interesting.
Well, and the wind instruments as well. In fact, they'll respond opposite of each other, you know. I mean, wind instruments will tend to go sharp, you know, if it's hotter, and, you know, they'll go higher in pitch, and string instruments will tend to go lower in pitch. So, you know, it's like, well, we'll meet somewhere in there. And this is one of the reasons in Tallahassee we don't have, you know, orchestra concerts in the middle of July. Yeah, it's just really
not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of the
that's just swimming upstream right there.
Yeah,
just, but springtime is a great time because, of course, it's the most beautiful time of year here in Tallahassee.
Yes.
And so we thought, what better time to do this? And we're very excited.
Good
about
for
it.
You. And what a great demonstration of this lovely gem now that we have called Cascades Park.
It's
so it's a celebration there.
I mean, I think there's reason to say we should all take a little bit of a pat on the back there among the faithful who have been ardent in their determination to make it happen, and those of us taxpayers who have said, yeah, we're with you, let's do this.
It says so much for our community that, you know, that that's the way our money is being spent.
Yeah.
You know, and in a day and age where people perhaps rightfully complain quite a bit about how their money is being spent, how their tax dollars being spent, here we have an example where this has gone back to us in one of the most beautiful urban parks. And I know you travel, I travel extensively. This is one of the most beautiful urban parks I've ever seen. It really is extraordinary.
And we were saying earlier, too, when you look at the contributions of a culture, right?
Right.
The historic fact is we are remembered by the art that we create, art in the broadest sense, right?
Exactly.
So I would dare say that whatever pittance we've paid to have this thing come about, what will be remembered? And that's a question for you. When you look at the role of performing arts, especially in our community, what do you find most significant about that to us as a community? Why is it so important, I guess?
Well, art, I think, plays a role in identifying who we are as human beings and creating a record for our experiences. You know, when we think about the great music that's been written or great theater or great paintings, whatever form of art you are talking about, it's a reflection of the human condition, the human spirit, the ability to overcome. So many of our works in music, for example, you think about Beethoven's Fifth Symphony or Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony or Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Mm. You know, I mentioned these fives because they're all significant in that they describe the struggle that is the human experience and also the ability for human beings to overcome that struggle, which is really part of our existence. I mean, this is why that music is still relevant today. You know, although that was another time and place historically, it reminds us also that human beings are essentially the same.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Philharmonia Orchestra is one of those, I guess there's three or four?
There's three orchestras.
Three orchestras.
At the College of Music.
At the College of Music. And it is your purview, your responsibility then to oversee all of
yes.
that.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm correct in saying you are the director of orchestral studies.
Exactly.
Is that a fair term?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
That's exactly
See,
right.
I got that. My staff was very helpful making sure that
some
I had
good research there.
Yes, absolutely.
It's outstanding.
I'll Google that. So, in fact, in all of that academia that you've been a part of in the academic pursuit, do you see a constancy there? Is there a waning of interest in such performance? Or do we see students coming in greater number to this whole area?
If our auditions that we finished our round of annual auditions just a few weeks ago, if there are any indication, there is no waning interest.
Wow.
And I think that also speaks to a human need for expression.
Yeah.
You know, and a value in expressing ourselves and be able to communicate that. You know, I remind my students on a regular basis that what we're doing is not brain surgery. You know, so we need to put it in perspective. No, it's not what a doctor does in saving a life necessarily, but it's remarkably important in improving the quality of a life.
Well, giving us the reason to save that life.
Exactly right.
You know, what do you have after? Which is, I guess, what you're saying here, the quality of life. What are we living for?
It also speaks to imagination, and yeah. I think the need. I mean, this is something that I think with all of the mass media that we have now, and I have nothing against it. But the mm-hmm. fact of the matter is, we're bombarded by facts on a regular basis. We're mm-hmm. bombarded by real-time images.
Yeah,
we're and art still provides a place, if we'll choose that place, for us to exercise our imagination, which is another way to enhance ourselves as people, as a society.
Interesting.
You know, and when you think about it, there was a time I remember back when the computer industry was just really, the PC industry was really starting to come about, and people like, IBM and so on were tilling colleges and universities
sausage
for programmers.
Yeah.
They often went after music people.
Interesting.
Because music people not only had imagination, which leads to innovation, but they also had that discipline, which comes from working on something to such perfection.
Yes.
You know, that they don't stop working on it until they get it exactly so.
Yeah.
That's the way music works or art works as well.
Right.
That's what our practice is about. You know, this orchestra is an orchestra of 75 players or 70 players. playing different instruments, you know, violins, violas, cellos, basses, you know, woodwind instruments. I mean, go on, brass instruments, percussion.
Right.
All with different notes, with a very complex sort of set of notes and indications and so on, all working together to make that come out as one idea to an audience.
Astounding.
It's really almost miraculous.
It is.
When you think about it.
Well, last question here, and we're going to let you go. Will we find any sort of live broadcast of this performance?
I don't think so at this point. This is our first time. If we do this again, and I suspect that we will probably consider doing something like that,
yeah,
and working with some of our partners in that way.
Yeah.
But for now, we're testing the waters, because for us, there's more involved than just showing up.
Okay.
I mean, we had to get a crew together, you know, with a truck to bring chairs and music stands and stand lights and percussion equipment and so forth. I mean, it is an operation putting an orchestra on a stage.
Indeed.
It is. And everyone in the College of Music has been absolutely superb and cooperative. It's been great.
What a fantastic contribution. Folks, once again, Pops in the Park. It's tonight at Cascades Park. Begins at 7:30, and it is free to the public. Bring a lawn chair, a blanket. There's plenty of seating there in the amphitheater, in addition, of course. There'll be food trucks out there. Dr. Alexander Jimenez, our guest this morning, he'll be there looking for you.
I will.
Will you have like some T-shirts or something you can throw into the crowd?
Like one of those guns, yeah, that you shoot the T-shirt at? You know what? That's a great idea. We'll get on that in the next few hours.
Okay. Well, that's for next time, maybe. Yeah. But thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
What a marvelous contribution you're making to this community.
Thank
folks,
you.
Stay with me. We've got more coming up right after this.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Tallahassee Roller Girls is a group of women ranging in age from 20 to 50 years old, from a variety of backgrounds, each possessing a unique set of talents. These ladies utilize and integrate these talents to successfully run the business that is the Tallahassee Roller Girls. It's our pleasure to have Stephanie Irigoyen with us talking about this rather unique organization. And how did you get started? By the way, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Has this been part of your life for a while, that rollerblading?
Roller derby, yeah.
Derby, and you were, but before you were part of Tallahassee Roller Girls, were you into roller skating?
No, not really. You know, birthday parties in middle school, I think everybody did those, but 4 years ago, I saw Whip It, and it's the Hollywood version of roller derby, and I just really wanted to try it, so I went out and found the team, and I started skating, and yeah, I've been with Tallahassee Roller Girls ever since.
How did it get started? Can you tell us?
Well, the league started back in 2006. There was a revival in Austin, Texas, of roller derby, and it's what we know modern day roller derby is,
right?
Which has a lot more rules. It's a real sport compared to, you know, the 70s and 80s roller derby.
Okay, yeah, I remember as a kid seeing people out there in this little tiny rink, you know, and
yeah,
trying to beat the tar out of one another.
Yeah, it was a little dramatized. People often ask us if it's anything like wrestling, and it's faked, but it's not. It's completely real these days. There's no like crazy stunts like there was in the 70s and 80s.
How many people are we talking about? How many people are involved in Tallahassee Roller Girls?
Our league has about 40 to 50 people in the league. And that's including our volunteers and our refs and everyone who comes together to make the league like work so well.
Wow.
But probably about 30 skaters right now.
Wow.
Everyone works really hard all the time. It's an amazing sport.
Remarkable. That's remarkable. What do you love most about it?
Well, the violence, but, you know, it's fun to be able to come out.
And this is remarkable to me because you don't seem like a violent person.
Well, it's, you know, you get to take it out in a practice.
Oh, I see. So that's why you're so calm and collected here.
Yeah.
I like that. Good. Keep going.
Well, sports was never really my thing, but it's a really great outlet for, like, a lot of us have a lot of energy.
So then you compete with, then, other teams in the league, right?
We have only we have two teams, the Capital Punishment and the Jailbreak Bettys.
Mm.
And then we compete with teams around well, basically around the area.
There, what is that area? The North Florida, South Georgia?
Well, there's the WFDA, the Women's Flat Track Derby Association,
right.
is kind of like the NFL for roller derby. And they have, I think we have over 300 leagues now in the world.
Wow.
It's a lot of leagues. So we've played leagues in Detroit and Pittsburgh. There, Jacksonville and Gainesville has teams, and we've played them. So it just depends on the schedule. This season, we're playing the Pensacola Roller Girls, the Gainesville Roller Derby team, a few places in Alabama, I think.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the season.
What is the proper reference here? Because you have this event tonight. Is that a match? Is it a game? What do you call it?
We call them bouts, but we recently moved over to the terminology games.
Okay,
it's the first game of the season.
Okay.
It's our season opener.
Okay. And that's the SmackDown it's called? Or
yes, this is our SmackDown scrimmage in St. Patrick's Day themed. It's intra-league, which means it's going to be our girls competing against each other.
Okay.
And it's not against another team, but that just makes it a little more fun, which is good for St. Patrick's Day themed.
I got you.
A little less competitive.
And that's tonight?
Yes.
What time?
7 p.m. at the Hansel E. Took Student Rec Center. It's on the FAMU campus.
Okay. Is that where you normally hold your games?
Yeah, that's our new venue. I think we just moved there about 2 years ago, and it's a great facility.
FAMU campus. And what's it called again?
The Hansel E. Tooks Student Rec Center.
Okay. So, folks, I hope you're taking notes here. And what time is that?
It starts at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 6:30. And bring your own chair because seating's kind of limited.
Okay. So we're gonna have two teams squared off, or how many teams will be competing?
We have two teams.
Okay.
We have the green versus white, green and white versus black and gold. So it's just depends on who got rostered on what team. I think both teams are really great, but I'm team green.
And how long have you been doing this personally?
4 years.
4 years.
This is my first season, though. It took me a while to qualify.
Did you have to try out for this? How do you get involved?
I'm pretty special in the case that it took me 9 times. We have qualifications.
I see.
That consists of a speed test, a skills test, and a written test. So you have to be qualified in all those three things to be considered WFDA qualified, because it's a tough sport. We want to make sure everyone's safe.
Okay.
So you have to meet up to those standards to be able to play.
Right. You have a lot of special gear and protective pads.
Yeah,
and
we wear knee pads, elbow pads, wrist guards, helmet, and mouth guard. Well,
is there training available for such a thing? If I wanted to be a part of a team?
We do. We have training. We have a boot camp. It runs 3 months. I think we usually have 3 a year. And we train people who don't know how to skate. Like, you don't have to know how to skate when you start. I didn't know how to skate.
Wow.
I'd look like a little baby giraffe on my skates. But they teach you everything. We teach
how cool
you
is that?
From, like, stopping and how to fall properly to the really fun skills like hitting.
So 3-4 years ago, how were you approached? I mean, and how do you approach folks now?
Well, I approach the skaters. I actually have a funny story of I went to First Friday and saw a roller girl skating around handing out flyers, which is what we tend to do.
That's your recruitment there.
But I missed her, so I ended up chasing her halfway around the square and caught up with her to get the flyers. But yeah, we fly around town. We go out to events sometimes and just talk to people, see who's interested in joining. Explain that you don't have to be on skates, or you don't have to know how to skate to be able to join.
Very cool. Talking with Stephanie Irigoyen, she is representing Tallahassee Roller Girls as we learn about this unique sporting event and organization performing tonight. They have a game tonight at FAMU campus. Starts at 7. The doors open at 6:30. What's the cost of admission?
It's $12 at the door. Kids 12 and under are free, though.
Okay.
So
and
bring
we should
the whole
bring
family.
Our own chair. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bring your own chair, yes.
Yes. And what was that?
Kids 12 and under are free, so bring the whole family.
Bring the whole family. Okay.
Yeah, we're a family-friendly sport.
Very family-friendly. So we're not going to see anything in terms of blood and
no,
that sort of thing.
No, it's about as violent as football, I'd say.
Okay.
A little around there.
Okay, so we can handle that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a very sensitive person, and I don't do well, you know, seeing people mangled and stuff.
No, right. Not
okay,
that bad.
Good. So it's safe there. For those who may have never seen a roller derby, is that what it's called?
Roller derby bout.
Bout, right? Mm-hmm. Is there something online? Do you have like a YouTube channel or something?
We have our website is TallahasseeRollerGirls.com.
Okay.
But we do have a YouTube channel. If you look up Tally Roller Girls, we have some footage on there.
Yeah.
You can probably find a bunch of footage from our other games archived on there too.
Awesome.
It's really fun to watch.
Folks, I tell you this, for our part in this, it's another example of what makes Tallahassee this very cool place to be. And here is another cool person doing something very cool. Tallahassee Roller Girls in their game tonight at FAMU campus. Check them out. You'll be there at 6:30. The doors open, and have yourself a great time. Stephanie, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there. Brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under Community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back and we are here with you on this Saturday, the 19th of March. Enjoying it. Hope you are too, and glad you've tuned in. You know, by the way, I often remind you of the fact that we have this lovely little website, TallahasseeTalks.com. It's there for you. I certainly get enough of me. I would think that that's a way for you to get more of the show. And if you've missed one of the many episodes that we have around here of this here broadcast, you can go there at any time and go back and listen to the conversation we had with Skip Foster here a couple weeks back, the new publisher at the Tallahassee Democrat. What a class act. He's a great guy. Hope you get to meet Skip Foster. Certainly you should listen to that that conversation that we had. And of late, you know, we've had some very interesting conversations. Of course, we had in the first hour Dr. Alexander Jimenez talking about Philharmonia Orchestra, their performance tonight at Pops in the Park there at Cascades Park. Great example of some very cool stuff going on around town. And this afternoon, yes, Florida State women's basketball in the NCAA championship NCAA tournament playing Alabama State. Is that right? Did I get that right? I think so. Amazingly, now Coach Simmerow, who will be with us shortly, Coach of the Year for the fourth time. I mean, and here's an irony. Can I tell you this little story? I was born and reared in Seattle, Washington. Okay, moved here 35 years ago, and Carl is always able to point out that it's somewhere in the conversation. I will mention the fact that I've been in Tallahassee 35 years. I don't know why that happens, but it does. But after having been here for a number of years, met Sue Simmerow, who has been here now 18 years, and by coincidence, we grew up from each other, that is to say. She was in the same neighborhood and went to the same elementary school and middle school and high school that I did, although she was 8 years my junior. So wow. And we discovered this some time ago. I have no idea what that means, but it just I find it so absolutely it's like the two guys that walk into the bar. You know, and they're sitting there after a while, they look at one another, and the one says, you know, you look very familiar. And they go on like this. You know, where'd you go to high school?
And they both went to the same high school, and they went to the same middle school and same elementary school. And they're just absolutely astounded with the fact that they have all this in common. And about that time, the phone rings, and the bartender answers and says, "Yeah, honey, it's kind of slow tonight, but the Johnson twins are drunk again." Well, so here you are thinking that you're the only person in the world that could possibly have made their way from Seattle to Tallahassee, and here's Sue Semereau. I can say, I think with great assurance, I will never be Coach of the Year for anything. She's been Coach of the Year now four times, and at the same time, having a fantastic season with them being undefeated in their conference, 14-0, and in the conference at home, they're undefeated, 14-0. And let's see, in their conference, I've got those numbers right here for you. Yeah, they're 14-2 in the ACC, 29-4 overall. Remarkable. What a great run. So we wish them well this afternoon playing Alabama State. Sue will be with us shortly. In other news, you are familiar with this idea of the newspaper selecting 25 women that you and I need to know, right? So they do this annually as a way of recognizing the contributions of very fine women in our community who work very hard in various capacities, various organizations to contribute to the welfare of the people they serve. Well, one of those who has been selected this year is a good friend of the show. She's been a guest before, we are very, very happy for her. She was referred to earlier in the week in the newspaper, and it so happens that this woman has organized and administers an organization called Girls on the Run. And that is our very good friend Erica McGibbon, who again has been a guest on the show in the past. And if you want to search McGibbon on our website and go back and listen to that conversation. Wow, a great person doing some great work for Girls on the Run. Their organization is designed really to provide young girls an opportunity to enjoy fitness. And just reading from this article, they establish the organizational infrastructure leading operation several years ago. They have a lot of special events. McGibbon, who is the executive director, says that in addition to her regular job, making possible opportunities for more than 100 girls per season is her life's joy. And in fact, she does that work full time. She works full time elsewhere, but is at the same time the program manager for Volunteer Florida. I'll let you read the article for yourself, but look for that. Girls on the Run and McGibbon, Erica McGibbon, our good friend, one of those 25 women to watch here in 2015. I think as well we should point out that we are continuing to promote our Tallahassee Food Challenge. Folks, we need your help. If you've not done so, please go to the website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, and we want you to help us help those food assistance charities that rely on our contributions, our donations, our generosity, to help feed the hungry folks, families and kids in this community that find themselves in very distressed circumstances. A number of these organizations work very hard throughout the year to get them up out of those circumstances. There are so many. But at the same time, we can't expect them to do much more if they can't feed their own children. So this is our chance to step up and help. Will you do that with me? The Tallahassee Food Challenge is on. The website is there. Stay with me on that as we bring you more updates. You'll find our sponsors are there. If you'd like to help us in sponsoring the campaign this year, feel free to contact us here at Alcom Marketing and Advertising. It's kind of the stuff we do. We like to make sure that we're taking care of business for all of you and for us too. Well, we have more events in a minute coming up here. I've got standing by Katie Gibson, who has this week's events in a minute. Katie?
Tallahassee Magazine presents their 11th annual Pets and Their People event from 9 to 3 today at Proctor's Subaru to benefit the Leon County Humane Society. Bring your pet or pets to have your photo taken and possibly be featured in Tallahassee Magazine's July-August issue, and while you're at it, enjoy live music, art exhibits, hands-on activities, and food and beverages. Opening Nights presents Raisin Kane, a Harlem Renaissance odyssey starring Jasmine Guy and the Avery Sharp Trio, Thursday at 8 p.m. at the Richard G. Fallon Theater. The performance celebrates the artistic expression of the American Black community in 1920s Harlem, New York. Sing along to hit country artist Eric Church's greatest hits as he brings the Outsiders World Tour to the Civic Center this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. with special guest Drive-By Truckers. Springtime Tallahassee kicks off on Friday with a music festival on Kleeman Plaza featuring the Eli Young Band. The fun starts at 6 p.m. at the Bud Light Beer Garden with opening acts the Sarah Mack Band in Old Dominion, and ends strong with the Eli Young Band taking the stage at 9 p.m. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, go to TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on: experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back, and we're talking with a young lady who has aspired to greatness. And originally a native of Seattle, Washington, and as it turns out, as fate would have it, a former neighbor of mine, although 8 years apart, I think we figured that out. Sue Cimero is our guest. How are you?
Doing great.
Coach, I guess you would be doing pretty good right now. I mean, this is kind of how it's supposed to happen. I mean, when you're sitting there in your planning, you know, in your team meetings and your practice, you're like, okay, this is what happens. We win the game. Doesn't always happen, but we kind of like that to happen if it's reasonably achievable. So tell us about this run. You guys are just...
You know, it's been really fun. Brian, it's like a type of year where you didn't know going in that it was going to be this type of year. We graduated one of the top picks in the WNBA last year, had a lot of new players coming in, and just credit to those kids and my staff that they've developed a unity that really goes beyond their skill level. You know, you can have great skill, but if you're not playing as a unit, then you don't win a lot of games.
I read once recently about, was it Bill Russell that was asked, can the Bulls win the championship now that they have Michael Jordan? And he said, no. And they said, why? He said, because there's only one ball.
Mm.
So Michael hasn't yet figured that part out. That speaks to this idea that when we come together as a team.
That's right.
In basketball, in life, things can really happen that we didn't predict.
Absolutely.
We could not have anticipated.
And I think it's a great thing when you have a group of people who will work and sacrifice and achieve some success when they don't care who gets the credit. I think, you know, Florida State women's basketball right now has achieved unprecedented success. But I don't think anybody knows any of the the players' names as a household name. And that's just because of their selflessness.
And they're okay with that.
And they're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what athletics should be all about. Certainly not if you're a golfer, but.
How do you instill that?
You know, I think it's an intentionality that on the part of my staff and my team, that when we go out and we recruit players, we recruit in such a way that they understand that even though they're extremely talented, it's not going to be just about them. I've got four different high school All-Americans on the team who wanted to come and play with the best and against the best. And that's what they're able to do at Florida State.
Ah. In that career that you've had at Florida State, how long have you been coaching there?
18 years.
Wow. I was just a little kid then.
Me too. I don't know how they gave a 12-year-old the job.
How has this happened?
I know.
But man, what a contribution. I mean, and I've heard you, as many of our listeners have on various occasions, speak to this issue of the game and life at large. And I remember hearing you speak to a group of chamber members at one breakfast occasion and talking about the loss of a player, a young woman who died, and the team having to come together around that and walk through that tragedy. And it was that, and to talk about that particular occurrence, and I'm sure there have been a lot of other things that have come since then that have challenged your resolve. Can you speak to how that affected you or how it changed you, if it did?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, that was back in 2004 when a sophomore on my team had a very rare disease called Marfan syndrome. And there wasn't a lot of detection for that. And it was one night, 3 a.m., I got a phone call that basically it's a disease of the connective tissue, and hers was in her heart. And the connective tissue couldn't withstand the blood circulation, so very suddenly that
disintegrated,
and she died that very night. And just going through that as a unit, as a family, with her family and locking arms, was something that did test our resolve. But honestly, you know, with her family's help, going out brought us very close and helped us to realize the importance of things beyond the court. Even this past year, we had a young lady on our team whose mother was suddenly diagnosed with bladder cancer, and for her teammates to come around her, for the university to allow me to get her mom moved up here into hospice in Tallahassee, and our team to be around her mom in her final days, I think that does something to you and helps you really realize the big picture.
When you're back to the game itself and you have already walked through whatever life has brought you as a team, how do you move from all of that and then become focused on this activity? Talk about that process, I guess.
Yeah, and I think your knees are probably a little weak a lot of times. And that's why I try to spend a lot of time on mine so that I can find some strength.
Prayer is good.
Yes, very much so. I think that you've got to have that personal strength that for me, you know, just comes from God and knowing that this is the mission that I'm called to be on. But I think then locking arms with people that are struggling with you, but to do something else. So you're not sitting there trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to deal with this issue? You take the strength that you have and you put it in to another area. And for us, it's basketball. For us, we are able to go out and to put all of that energy into something else. And I think it's because we address what's going on. We don't pretend it doesn't happen. We deal with it, but then we don't deal with it and stop. We deal with it and move into a different environment.
Talking with Sue Summerall here, coach, Florida State women's basketball, having a pretty good run at things so far this year, and certainly we are delighted for you and for your staff, for your team,
for Florida State fans. This is a great thing. Even better that you've decided to give us just a little bit of your time, because this is busy time for you. Folks, stay with us. We're going to learn more from this young lady who has brought to Tallahassee, I think, as we talk about Tallahassee, perhaps a different vision, a different view of what it means to be an athlete, what it means to be a collegiate athlete, what it means to be a Tallahassean. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Coach Sue Cimarro, Florida State women's basketball. A little bit about life's lessons. It sounds like suffering and adversity, as those things do happen to all of us, right? I mean, none of us are untouched. Can either make us or break us. Is that too glib? But I mean, I know it sounds like a Hallmark card, but
yeah.
But seems to me in your description of it, there really is a kind of processing that goes on. And I'm curious as to, for this year particularly, is there a kind of unknowing, I guess, or unknowable quantity of inspiration that you just can't fake? You either have it or you don't. Or, I mean, as a coach, you talked about this. Man, I got some great players. They have great athletic ability. They're disciplined. And yet this other sort of unmeasurable spark comes along, and man, they are just clicking on all cylinders. How do you account for that?
Well, you know, again, I think if you look at everything as a blessing, not just when things go well, but when things are difficult, I think you have a more clear vision of what life really is. And there's a healthy tension that has to exist. You know, the same two fingers, the thumb and the index finger that pick up a contact lens, you know, are so just gently, are the same two fingers that can pick up a rock that can really hurt something.
And, or a gun.
Or a gun, exactly. And you've really got to manage that tension. And the tension can be a really healthy tension if the good things are dealt with in a certain way, but also the hard things are dealt with in a certain way. And you've got to have both. What life is.
It sounds like, too, that for you, the collective is really a source of that. You talked about your personal faith in God, but then you talk about how, as a team, there's that sort of collective resolve, and you help each other in the process of it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pulling together, we say.
Well, and I think transparency is so huge, because I think with transparency, trust is developed. And that's something that, when you have trust, if you're a part of a group, whether it be a family, a team, a business, things tend to work much better. And I've seen a lot more success in that.
Coaching has changed a lot. Would you agree? Collegiate athletics has changed dramatically.
Yes.
It's not just for the sport of it anymore, or the, let's say, the academic aspects of it. It's business, big business.
Yeah, it is big business. And I think, too, that there's a lot of entitlement that the athletes are feeling now that because of the big business, because in some instances, sport is making a lot of money. I mean, I just read today that the NCAA made over $1 billion this year. And so then the athletes look at that and say, well, I deserve a piece of that. And rather than it just being, wow, I get a scholarship to come and to play the sport I love, it's become more than that. And I think part of our job as coaches is to take them back down to, what is pure about sport? Why are we doing this? What is pure about education? And this is really what it's all about.
And we've done that to ourselves, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've lost the joy of just doing something for the sake of doing it.
And I think, too, you know, you look at the great American dream, and everything tends to be about making money. And I don't know that And until you've made money and you realize there really isn't anything in money, it's the relationships that you build on the way, it's the experience you have. And that's unfortunate that you know through all the social media, through all the media period, you look and you see the best and the beautiful and the bright, and it's not what it's all cut out to be in real life.
That made me laugh when I got this story the other day. You probably saw that the National Association of golf caddies now are suing or have come with a class action suit against the PGA because they want a piece of the action. They are historically have been asked to wear bibs during any golf match, and the bibs are, of course, embroidered with or imprinted with some sponsor's logo, and it represents a sizable amount of cash, and so they want their piece of the action.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who knew? The caddies. We just thought the caddies were just like Bill Murray, you know, people who were just kind of lovable, and it turns out they got needs. So in the face of those kinds of pressures, let's say, and I mean, I guess that is a kind of pressure, isn't it, for a young athlete? Because meanwhile, his or her family is saying, "Hey, you got to go. You got to, you know, it's your year," and so now off they go.
Well, or even, you know, you need to be the one with the ball in your hands the whole time because you're building your brand right now. And if you want to go on and you want to play and you want to be sponsored,
star status,
you need to have that. And and it just isn't good for the sake of a team. And we don't want those types of players on our team.
Are you abide with this idea that it's better to keep your eyes on that process? I mean, I'm saying in play on the court rather than looking at the scoreboard. Do you say, look, stay to the fundamentals, bounce the ball, pass the ball? That's where the game is played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our team does a great job of just focusing on getting better. You know, you can dream and think all you want, and don't believe me, we do that. We do that at the beginning of the year. We do that periodically throughout the year, but then we zoom right back down to what it will take to achieve those types of dreams.
And what does that require? I mean, when we talk about, again, today's college athlete, the academics, the outside pressure, the family pressure, the demands of the game fundamentally.
It's very intentional.
Man.
Their schedules are very intentional to achieve the type of success that they want to achieve, both on the court but also in the classroom and in life. And we get to help them manage that. And I think it's important too that, you know, they feel the support for getting an A as much as they feel the support for getting 12 rebounds. And I think even in going out in the community, I think of Lauren Coleman on our team, a fifth-year senior who's involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. She doesn't have a lot of time, but she makes that choice to enhance her own character and be a part of this community.
And you said earlier, it is always a matter of choosing. You know, how are you going to use the things that have been given to you for good or for harm? Is it often that you have players pull you aside and say, "Coach, I really need to talk. I have that need in my life." Is that a big part of your role then with your team?
It is, and I share that with my assistant coaches as well. I think they know that we do care, and we want to hear the things in their life that are hard. We understand that all the pressures that they're getting in the classroom and through basketball are very difficult. So if we can help them bear the burdens that that come with just life, I think that's important. And they really don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so we do try to stay available and walk through the difficulties.
How much is their family's involvement part of that whole process?
It's huge.
Stay real close?
Yeah. Very, very much so. You know, when we sign someone, we sign their whole family. And we make sure that I don't want to screw up what their family's done for 18 years, you know, in the four I have. I want to make sure that they're handing me a baton and saying, "Hey, okay, we trust you to keep running with this."
Right. Seems to me that that has become a hallmark, if I can say this, about Florida State athletics. I think that's a fair assessment. I think that that carries over into a number of the sports that are presented and represented, whether it's basketball or golf or certainly football. Bowden is legendary for his hands-on personal relationship is where it's all about. I don't think Jimbo's any further away from that. I think
he's tremendous with that. And I think, too, it plays into the culture of excellence that we have. I really don't believe that at this age, when young people are from 18 to 22, that they are going to be professional. They don't want to be treated as a professional at this point. And they're making that transition from their home life.
Yeah.
Into a professional world, and so they need a little bit of both.
You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking with Coach Sue Sumaro. You stay with us. We got more right up ahead.
This portion of our show is brought to you by The Green Room, Heather Baker and Company. This is an amazing person. And right here in our very own town of Tallahassee, Heather Baker is award-winning, having spent her entire career in hair. And I mean, she really knows how to make you look great for you. Not try to make you look like somebody else. And yes, she is officially the hairdresser for Tallahassee Talks. I'm telling you, if I can go in there, guys, listen, stop fooling around with the chop shops around town. Get involved with somebody who really loves this craft. That's what she does, and it's called The Green Room on Lake Ella. They're located at 1425 North Monroe, right there at Lake Ella. You can reach her at 425-5222, or just go to her Facebook page, The Green Room on Lake Ella. It's the best thing you can do for your look this week.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking Florida State women's basketball. Doing okay. And looking forward to further wins up ahead. And as we talk with Coach Sue Sumaro here, it's clear to me, Coach, that I'll say this. I can't imagine you doing anything else. Mm. Is that true?
I've thought a lot about what else I would be doing, and I don't think anything fits my personality quite like this does. So
for you, that is a kind of destiny. Did you know that when you were back there at Brookside Elementary
School? No, heck no, no.
Now, folks, you have to know this, that we went to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school, the Mighty Highlanders, right?
Mighty Highlanders,
and
yes.
You know what? I was the voice of Big Otis.
No, that's big time. If y'all could just see Big Otis, he was this Scot that was on the wall in the gymnasium, and during pep rallies, Big Otis would speak to us.
I mean, this voice from, you know, on high.
Yes.
And
Hootmon.
Yeah. And that was the first indication that I might have the ability to be in front of a microphone. God only knows. But what a curious coincidence that you and I come from those places in the Pacific Northwest and those experiences in those times. And those times were, I would say, among other things, quite innocent comparatively. Mm. You know, we just didn't have the controversies. We didn't have the world events. That we were living in a very, I thought, safe world. Not so much anymore. Now
true.
We have legislation being proposed as we speak here today about students being allowed to carry firearms on campus. Right. See, when I went to Seattle University, I was just worried about the parking.
I know it.
So what's happened to us, do you think? And when you look at the kinds of things that even Florida State has had to deal with in this last year and a half, 2 years of college football, that continues to be brought back to us, it seems, relentlessly. Here's a young man who is, as you said earlier, a young man in transition, a guy who was entrusted to us. And through the course of this last year, we've had a number of conversations with people from various walks of life, various professional backgrounds. But there was a kind of consensus that said, he's a kid. He's a young guy. The ability for him to perform on the football field, on that gridiron, was really the key. Hmm. And it overshadowed some of those, we'll say, softer questions about your personal behavior and the kind of mentoring that that requires. It sounds like that's the kind of mentoring you bring to your players, where, you know, it doesn't begin and end, you know, at the end of a game. You know, this is ongoing.
Well, and I think, too, that you look at the change in the last 20 years in the level of media. I mean, we're sitting now in a radio studio. That used to be really what it was about, radio, a little bit of television. Yeah. But now with the advent of the internet and social media, I think that there's a lot of ideas that are floating around out there that, you know, people don't have the character maybe to say, no, that's not right. Mm-hmm. So maybe something that happened leads to more violence because it's out there and they see it and it's doable. And I think that's where we have a challenge right now as educators to continue to mentor and educate young people.
That you see yourself as an educator.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that capacity, when you bring a young person to that inherently national, international, global stage, is that part of the preparation? When you recruit somebody, you sit them down and go, now realize you're about to step out here and it's not your hometown anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a 24/7 news cycle. So every time you sneeze, we're going to know about it. You don't put on your turn signal because we know where you're going.
Well, yes, so much so. And we don't want to be a big brother here, but you almost can't help it. People are putting their lives out there so much through social media. And so we want to make sure that they're educated that, gosh, when I put something out on social media, it's not just my friends that are going to see this, but maybe my future employer, maybe the president of the university.
So get smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a part of this whole educator, coach protocol that you've had to incorporate.
Well, that and also education in a positive way. The NCAA allows us to travel overseas once every 4 years. And so to be able to take our players over to Senegal, to Italy, to South Africa, and to see the Eiffel Tower in 3D, and to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, to see orphanages and townships and all of those things that we've, over the years, been able to do. It's much more interesting than reading about it in a book.
Yeah, man. Last question. What do you love most about Tallahassee? You've been here 18 years.
You know, every time I fly into Tallahassee and get on a plane, I feel like I should know everyone that's on the plane. And I love that. I love that I will know someone, and I feel like I should know everyone. It's such a community feel. I love that, the businesses came out in support of our hosting the NCAA tournament this weekend. Yeah. And that during this weekend that you're listening to this broadcast, that business owners and individuals in our community have donated tickets to the Boys and Girls Club, the school system, Tallahassee Parks and Rec, and that everyone's coming together to support one another.
Very cool.
I just think it's an amazing town, and I've lived here now longer than I lived in Seattle.
I could say the same. What do you like least about us, about Tallahassee?
I think the fact that we're such a sleeper. I think a lot of people don't see Tallahassee for what it really is. I mean, it's a capital city with thriving businesses, businesses that individuals have opened, from small businesses to big businesses. I mean, I love the fact that Starbucks is now in many corners of Tallahassee. That means we've made it.
Folks, what a charming opportunity with a charming individual, Sue Semero, coach for Florida State women's basketball. doing okay. We think we're going to keep her around because we learn a lot every time we get a chance to talk. Thank you for being here this morning. Oh,
thank you, Brian.
And much success to you and to your team and your staff. Go Noles.
Go Noles. Thank you.
It's a great time, and this is well earned, in my humble opinion. I think you certainly deserve every success. Folks, that's what we have for you this morning. Thank you for making it a part of your morning. We invite you to stay with us through the weeks ahead. We're going to learn more and more about this town we call Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, and our associate producer, Kayla Furland. Director of Guest Relations is Mindy Clark. We are looking forward to having you back again next Saturday morning right here at 9 o'clock at our home station, 93.3 FM, and streaming live across the globe. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck